In this lesson, we are going to look at three applications of the Lagrange method. In the first example, we're going to do a simple utility maximization subject to a budget constraint. And in the second example, we're going to do expenditure minimization subject to a utility constraint. Quite often, the second example is referred to the dual of the first example, since we are basically carrying out the same problem except in reverse. And our third example will come from production and costs, where we will minimize a firm's expenditures on total costs subject to an output constraint using a Cobb-Douglas production function. Okay, so let's start with the first example. So let's get some working space here. So the first thing we need to do is set up the Lagrange equation, which is going to be L equals xy, the objective function, plus lambda times the constraint written to be equal to zero, b minus px x minus py y, close bracket. So now we have the utility function plus zero. Note in this problem, everything is parameterized, meaning everything that we have as here, here, and here, the three variables in the budget constraint, instead of being numbers, are in fact variables. But these variables are to be treated as constants. So we're going to derive the solutions as a function of the three exogenous variables. So let's begin. So the first partial, L sub x, will be y minus lambda times the derivative of pxx. It's just px, so it's lambda px equals zero. The second one will be x minus derivative of lambda pyy is going to be lambda py, everything's a constant but y, that equals zero. Finally, we take the Lagrange derivative, which is always the constraint, pxx minus pyy equals zero. From the first two equations, I'm going to number them as 1, 2, 3. So from the first two equations, we see that y equals lambda px and x equals lambda py. When you have two equalities like this, you can simply divide the left-hand side by the right-hand side and still preserve the equality. So now we can see that the lambdas are going to cancel out. And what we're going to be left with is y over x equals px over py, which can be written as y equals px x over p, sorry, px over py times x. Now that we've got eliminated lambda from the first two equations, we will take this solution for y and we will substitute it into our third equation. So now we can write the third equation as follows: b equals pxx plus pyy, where y is replaced by px over py times x. So if we inspect carefully, we see that the py in the numerator and the denominator are going to cancel with each other in the last term. Or this py cancels with this py. This leaves us with b equals pxx plus pxx, which is 2pxx. Now we're almost done. Divide through by 2px, and we can write x as is equal to b over 2px. So now we have a solution for x, the endogenous variable, as a function of only the exogenous variables b and px. One should note, this is also considered the consumer's demand function for x. Note that the price of x is in the denominator, so as px gets bigger, x gets smaller, the so-called law of demand. And the budget, b, is in the numerator, so when b gets bigger, x gets bigger. So this must be a normal good. To find y, we simply replace x in the budget, original budget constraint. So let's do that. So we know that b equals pxx plus pyy. And we can replace x with b equals px times b over 2px plus PYY. And the PXs cancel out, leaving us with B equals B over 2 plus PYY. So I have a full B on one side of the equality and a B over 2, or half a B, on the other side. So if I subtract half a B from both sides, I get B over 2 equals PYY. Now let's just make a little more room. Last step, we divide through by PY, and we now have an answer for Y. And Y will equal B over 2PY. So now we've solved for the utility maximizing values of X and Y. If we substitute these into the utility function, which we said is U equals XY, we get B over 2PX times B over 2PY equals B squared all over 4PXPY. This term is sometimes referred to as the indirect utility function. From economics, we know that utility is the thing that people try to maximize. It's loosely related to happiness or well-being. So we know that your happiness depends on the goods you consume, X and Y. But therefore, it indirectly depends on your budget and the prices of the goods you face, since you convert budget into goods and goods into utility. So indirectly, budget and prices affect utility, hence the name. All right, let's go to the second example, which is the dual, which is a consumer minimizing his expenditure subject to a fixed level of utility. Regardless of a max or a min, we use the same approach for the Lagrange. We write up the adjective function PXX plus PYY plus lambda times U0, the fixed level of utility, minus XY, the utility function. Okay, now make some more room here. Just simply find the first order conditions. So we know that L sub X equals PX minus lambda times Y equals 0. We know that L sub Y will equal PY minus lambda X equals 0. And L sub lambda will equal the constraint U0 minus XY, all equals 0. In this problem, our exogenous variables are PX, PY, and the level of utility. In the previous example, the exogenous variables were also PX and PY, but budget was the exogenous variable, and utility is what we're solving for. In this problem, utility is given, but budget is actually what we're looking for. So PXX plus PYY will be the necessary budget needed to maintain U0. So let's solve our two problems. From the first two equations, numbered 1, 2, 3, what we can do, and I'm going to just take these three guys and make them a little bit smaller so we have more room to work without losing sight of everything we're doing. We can write the first equation as PX equals lambda Y, and the second equation as PY equals lambda X. Again, we can take the first equality and divide it by the second equality without losing anything. So PX over PY equals lambda Y over lambda X. So clearly we can see that we have a lambda in the numerator and denominator of the right-hand side, which are going to cancel. And this leaves us with PX over PY equals Y over X. Well, that is the same property we got in the first problem for maximization. And this is a common result of maximization and minimization problems known as the tangency condition. Here, the MRS equals the slope of the price ratio. Now, let's rewrite that as Y equals PX over PY times X. So that is what we get when we substitute equations 1 and 2 together. Now, like we did before, we're going to take this relationship and substitute it into the constraint for y. So we can write the third equation as u0 equals x times y, where y is replaced by px over py times x. Now, let's just collect some terms and see what we get. So x times x, that gives us u0 equals px over py times x squared. Multiply through by py, divide through by px, and we can write this as py times u0 over px equals x squared. If we take the square root of both sides, then we get x equals the square root of py u0 over px. Well, that simply becomes py to the 1/2 u0 to the 1/2 over px to the 1/2. It wouldn't hurt to go back and review your rules on exponents to make sure you're comfortable with this transformation. But essentially, the square root of py times u0 over px is identically equal to py to the 1/2 u0 to the 1/2 over px to the 1/2. Now let's go back and find y. So what we can do is we can take the relationship from above, y equals px over py x, and bring it down and rearrange it so we can write that as x equals py over px times y. So that is just simply rearranging for x by itself rather than y from equations 1 and 2. And again, just like before, we're going to put that into the utility function constraint. So we know that u0 equals xy, so therefore this will equal bracket py over px times y for x times y. And that is going to give us u0 equals py over px times y squared. Now multiply through by px, divide through by py, swap things around, we can write this as y squared equals px over py times u0. Now we're down to the last step, which is simply take the square root of both sides. So now we know that y will equal px to the 1/2 u0 to the 1/2 over py to the 1/2. So I've taken the square root of everything on the right hand side. So this gives me the solution for y, and remember what x was equal to py to the 1/2 u0 to the 1/2 over px to the 1/2. So now we have the solution for the two endogenous variables y and x in terms of the three exogenous variables, price of x, price of y, and the target level of utility. These two functions are also demand functions and are sometimes referred to as compensated demand functions, something you will review more when you do intermediate macroeconomics or managerial economics. So let's go to our last example, which is very similar to the one we just completed, except this time it's with production and costs. So we have minimize total expenditure on inputs, where we have the wage rate W, which is given, and the rental rate of capital R, which is given, and a fixed level of output Q0, which is given. And our two endogenous variables are labor L and capital K. And in this case, we're using a Cobb-Douglas production function, K to the 1/2, L to the 1/2. So we set up our Lagrange. So our Lagrange becomes and I'll use Z this time for the Lagrange, will be WL plus RK plus lambda times Q0 minus K to the 1/2 L to the 1/2. So there is our Lagrange. Total costs plus lambda times zero. I will take that and I just want to shrink it down a little bit so I have a bit more room to work. Move it up. Now, let's take our first order conditions. So the first one will be Z with respect to L, which is W minus lambda times the derivative of L to the 1/2 becomes 1/2 K to the 1/2 L to the negative 1/2 equals 0. Now I take L sub K, or Z sub K, and I get R minus lambda times the derivative with respect to K, which will be 1/2 K to the minus 1/2 L to the 1/2 equals 0. And of course our third will be with respect to, third derivative is Z sub lambda, which is always Q0 minus K to the 1/2 L to the 1/2 equals 0. So now we have our first order conditions. So now that we've found those three, let's just park them over in the corner a little bit so we have some room to work. And there we go. So now we want to take, and we have three equations, 1, 2, 3, and simplify them a bit and get rid of lambda. So we can write the first equation as W equals lambda times 1/2 K to the 1/2 L to the minus 1/2. Second equation is R equals lambda times 1/2 K to the negative 1/2 L to the 1/2. Just like we did in the previous two cases, since we had two equalities, we can divide the right hand side of the equality and the left hand side of the equality and set them equal and preserve the conditions. So W over R equals lambda 1/2 K to the 1/2 L to the negative 1/2 divided by lambda 1/2 K to the negative 1/2 L to the 1/2. So right away we see that we can cancel a few things out. So the lambda here cancels with the lambda below. The 1/2 here cancels with the 1/2 below. So that leaves us with W over R equals K to the 1/2 L to the minus 1/2 all over K to the negative 1/2 L to the 1/2. Remembering how the rule of exponents work, and just to review that, let me do that over here. Remember that x to the a over x to the b is equal to x to the a minus b. We're going to use this rule twice. First, starting with the capital. So we see we have k to the 1/2 divided by k to the minus 1/2. So that becomes 1/2 minus negative 1/2, or 1/2 plus 1/2, which is going to just give us k. So that's k in the numerator. For L, we have L to the negative 1/2 over L to the 1/2. So that becomes a negative 1/2 minus 1/2, which becomes negative 1, or 1 over L. So that leaves us with a very simple K over L. So now we have simplified the first two equations to something quite workable. So we can write this as K equals W over R times L. So I've simply taken this relationship and brought it over here and rearranged it. Now I'm ready to substitute into the third equation. So now I can write this as Q0 equals K to the 1/2, which is replaced by W over R times L to the 1/2 times L to the 1/2. Well, we can break this up, and this simply becomes Q0 equals W to the 1/2 over R to the 1/2 times L to the 1/2 times L to the 1/2. Knowing that we have an L to the 1/2 times L to the 1/2, then that simply becomes W to the 1/2 over R to the 1/2 times L. So we are one step away from getting our answer. So we're going to take the expression W to the 1/2 over R to the 1/2 and take it to the other side, and we can now write our final solution as L equals R to the 1/2 over W to the 1/2. Oops, let's just make that a little clearer. Times Q0. To find K, we take our relationship that says that, let me write that here, find K using W over R equals K over L. Now this time we want to isolate L. So this becomes L equals R over W times K. So from this equation here, we substitute back into our output constraint. Q0 equals K to the 1/2 L to the 1/2. So that becomes K to the 1/2 times RK over W to the 1/2. Now it's pretty much like what happened when we solved for L. So this will become Q0 equals R to the 1/2 over W to the 1/2 times K to the 1/2 times K to the 1/2 is K. Last step, multiply through by W to the 1/2, divide through by R to the 1/2, and we get our answer that K will equal W to the 1/2 over R to the 1/2 times Q0. So now we have our solution for the optimal amount of capital as a function of the wage rate, the rental rate, and the level of output. Remember again that we said L was equal to R to the 1/2 over W to the 1/2 times Q0. So that is the optimum amount of labor as a function of the rental weight of capital, the wage rate, and output. Note that for labor, W to the 1/2 is in the denominator, so as W gets bigger, we have less L. That makes sense. Downward sloping factor demands. Also, note that when Q gets bigger, we use both more labor and more capital. Okay, there are three good economic applications of Lagrange, and we will stop here.